Blog Talk Radio.
Jordan Garber now in the VOC Nation. So it's definitely great to have the show back once in a while, and it's great to have great guests, like this show always provides. And that is none other than the Misfit Ron Mathis. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Super hot day here in Winnipeg. I don't know how the weather here is in your neck of the woods, but I'm roasting out here. I just went back from grocery shopping. I'm soaked. I'm tired, I'm sweaty, but I'm still ready to talk wrestling, and it's going to definitely be great. Just, Gerard, you know, just before we go on to this interview, it's great having you on the program as well. We do have a history back from working with each other at Hell in a Forum Radio, so it's great to have you back on board as well. So let's get right to it. You know, you did a show last Saturday, I believe, with Chase Owens. The promotions at the top of my head, I can't remember exactly what it was. I'm not on my computer right now. But just tell us about the last show you did, Ron, and what you've been doing lately to keep the dream going.
Well, I just finished up the weekend. That was Friday night in Madison, West Virginia, All-Star Wrestling. I was in a triple threat match with Chase Owens, a wrestler from West Virginia, a younger wrestler named Jake Jacobs. ASW always does a great job of bringing in legends and guys that usually don't get to see their shows, so it always draws really well. But then they bring in a good crop of young, known wrestlers like Chase Owens, plus the core regulars. So it's a cool place. It was a fun crowd. I had a good match. First time I'd ever worked with Chase, and we had a really good time. And then last night I was in Columbus, Indiana, working for Emerge Wrestling. It was only my second time there. I wrestled Pompano Joe, who's another guy from Rockstar. We had a really good match, so it was a good weekend.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about you've wrestled in Combat Zone Wrestling. You've wrestled for basically around the Midwest. You've been around everywhere. And, you know, you keep making a name for yourself by the day. Tell us, you know, you were trained by Cody Hawk in the beginning of your career. How did you get the whole gimmick going? What kind of made you want to become a professional wrestler? And what was it like being trained by Cody Hawk, Brian Beach, and Benjamin Kimura? What kind of did they teach you along the way? Were there any key points that they taught you towards your dream?
Well, I mean, I always wanted to be a wrestler from the time I could talk. But going from Chillicothe, there's not much of anything here. So as soon as I graduated high school, I started trying to attempt to get wrestling, trying a few different things, but it just never worked out until I met Sid Fabulous, who he's another guy wrestling rock star, and he travels around with me and some other guy. And we got trained by Cody, which we actually just got lucky because we just found something we could drive to easily and just did some research and found Cody. And it was pretty much throwing darts at a board. It could have been anything, but luckily it was a good place to go through because Cody trained actually Dean Ambrose, and Dick Ritz was his name. Eli Drake. He trained Eli Drake. So I mean, he has a history of training good people, but we didn't know that when we enlisted. It was just blind luck. But we got trained primarily by Cody and Tarek the Legend, or Tarek the Great was his name. He wrestled American Kickboxer, and he was big on the Indies, and the Indies were just getting the name the Indies. But they, you know, kicked my butt into getting into shape because I was a chubby kid when I got there. And they just taught me the importance of the finer aspects of wrestling, you know, because I think that's the way you do it. You don't teach people how to do a bunch of backflips right after that. You teach them the finer points of it, which that's what they really instilled in me.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you talk about those things that you did learn along the way, training with Cody and everything, and starting from that and going to HWA and working with Dean Ambrose in the Heartland Wrestling Association, I believe in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, that's when you started out there. Just adjusting to that atmosphere, working with Dean at the time, did you kind of think this guy was the next big thing? And what was kind of on your mind starting out in the Heartland Wrestling Association? What were your goals in place for that time? Where did you want to go from the start?
Well, Heartland was somewhere I ventured, like, really early. And as soon as I started, like, I was wrestling weekly for Cody at a place called Ego Pro Wrestling. And they lost their building maybe 3 months after I started working on shows. And I just think 3 months into my career, I should be having less matches. So I did some research about HWA, which was running every Tuesday. And so I made the call, and I went there and, you know, watched a few shows, helped with the ring. And got on the show eventually, and that was a good thing because there was upcoming guys like Irish Airborne were there, which getting in with them would change a lot of things about my career because they really changed the path a lot of ways. And also like Ambrose, when he was John Moxley, he was there. And like you asked about earlier, the thing is everyone knew when he was there that he wasn't going to have a normal job or be a normal person. This guy was something special. He was going to go somewhere. And I know he was going to be the WWE champion, no. But, like, I knew he wasn't going to be around long, so I made sure to kind of watch him and observe as much as I can while we had him.
Ladies and gentlemen, people that are still listening live on for Wrestling World 247 and the Jordan Garber Now taping featuring Rob Mathis and the Extreme Rules preview, this episode, unfortunately, is a little bit cut off. I do apologize. I'm going to be doing the Extreme Rules preview portion half. I do apologize. The Rob Mathis interview will be postponed to next Saturday. You guys may ask why. People may be asking, oh, Jordan Garber doesn't have his shit together. Well, there's an internet company a router company by the name of Hitron, Hitron, and they are by far the worst router company in the world. There's also been a people recalling them in regards to routers that haven't been working. There's also been a recall in China where kids have ate lead, like, just because the routers had lead on it, that had kids, and they ate the lead off of it, and they got poisoned and died. We're talking about a router company that doesn't really care about the quality of internet or the quality of their customers. So due to an unprofessionalism on a router's end, I know it sounds stupid, but on the end of a internet provider and company, Hitron is to blame for the delay in this episode. Like I said as well, the kid dying with the lead on their routers and due to the lack of poor customer service, that is the reason why we are postponed to next Saturday.
but we will be back and better than ever with a new router, and we will never use that company again. Just saying to the world right now, never buy a Hitron router, HITRON. Don't buy those routers because they do not work. I repeat, they do not work. And we are going to do a quick Extreme Rules preview. We're going to take a quick 30-second break, and I'm going to do a quick Extreme Rules rundown. We'll be back live on Wrestling World 247, and once again, I do apologize for the delay on Hitron's end.
And now it's not going to fucking work. Unbelievable. Fuck this. Sorry, I just lost. This is ridiculous, man. I just wanted to make a promo and do even a part of the show. Like the fucking router.
We're still live, sorry. Anyways, we're going to be doing an Extreme Rules preview. Not much to discuss about this. This is not going to be long at all. Jinder Mahal is your WWE champion.